This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
You know, can I tell you quickly, Bucky did text me. He was listening as we were going to break. And then I'm just going to quote
him. Did he defend himself? I know social media.
No, he said, with this grammar, I might have fell for the Reddit rumor.
Yeah, that's what he did.
He's in those Reddit streets. Bucky, come on.
I might have fallen.
Yeah, it's fallen, Buck. And, you know, hey, Buck's a Reddit guy. Who knew? Buck's a Reddit guy.
It's okay.
All right, let's go to the phone. Somebody wants to chime in on the Juju situation.
By the way,
they may have a little more information.
I'm defending the wacky mom. I think the mom is wacky, but I'm defending because he's playing great. Don't change
the results speak for themselves.
Right. We don't have any division. Everybody loves Jaden. Robert was a very divisive guy.
So he can't have a relationship off the football field?
He can do whatever he wants. I don't care what he does.
If she wants to be a wacky helicopter mom, and he's like flirting with MVPs every year,
that's fine.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, I know. No one cares. I
mean, eventually,
no one cares what his relationship
eventually
is.
Eventually, that's gonna. He's gonna cut that off.
Yeah.
Eventually, he has.
He's a mama's boy.
A little bit of mama's boy. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't care if he's celibate. I don't care what he does.
Yeah, I don't
just
care.
Just throw for 25 touchdowns and run for eight or nine more.
Yeah. Right. Again,
just do that.
My thought is he was. He bought seats. Mm-hmm. He's at a lot of basketball games, okay?
Yeah.
He was at the Lakers game.
No, your thought's totally wrong.
No.
That it was just an innocent thing sitting between them?
Yeah, that's I think he was sitting with his mom. He went to a game with his mom.
No, he's sitting with his mom, but when she got in between them, now maybe that was before. But
that's my point.
Before anything, and then later he sat next to her.
Possible.
Okay, that's possible. But it's not possible that he sat next to her, and then she innocently got in between later. No, that's not possible.
I think she got.
But she was having a good time with Juju. Like if you watch the pictures, like Juju and the mom were talking.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. She probably got up and went somewhere,
and then he slid down.
Either he slid down or Juju came in and sat next to him.
All right. Let's go to Eric. Eric, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys. So listen, I can't stay long. I just wanted to call to say this. There's a video that shows Juju actually coming down the steps to sit beside Jaden.
Right.
There was an empty seat. There was an empty seat between Jaden and his mom. Juju came and sat down beside him, and they started talking. That there's a video that's out there that shows that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys can look that up, but it's there. She came and sat beside him. They were talking, but the video didn't show mom. You know, squeezing in between them.
Yeah, when did mom squeeze in between, though?
I didn't say it didn't show when. It just.
Well, obviously after.
It was a short clip.
Right.
Of Juju coming down the steps. She saw Jaden. She sat down beside him. And then the video cut off.
Right. So the question is then, why did the mom sit in between them later? That's where the mom's probably being a little aggressive.
Well, we all know why that is. It's, you know, as a parent, you know, you want to protect your asset. I get it. But, you know, I think that she needs to calm down a
little
bit.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a Skins fan?
I am a Skins fan.
All right. Okay, great. Right.
Skins fan.
Do you care? I don't care what he does in his personal life. I couldn't care less. So if the mom's over-involved, which she appears to be, I don't care. As long as he's balling, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Are you with me?
That's correct way to approach.
But guess what? But guess what?
Yeah.
But let me say this. But knowing Jaden and knowing how football players use outside situations to get at guys mentally in games, that could be an effect later on down the line. I'm just saying.
I don't know what he's talking about.
You
know,
like people trash talk, call him a mommy's boy, that sort of thing.
He's tough enough.
He's tough enough for that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank
guys,
you.
Gotta go.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. He didn't really help anything. He actually set up that they were together at the beginning. Then the mom got in between later.
No, what he said is that they were Jaden and his mom were sitting together. She went to go to the bathroom or popcorn or whatever for a while. Then she slid over to talk to Jaden. And then the mom came back and broke him up.
Right. So my theory was correct that they went to the game together. Had nothing to do with Juju.
Of course
Juju
they went
sees
to the
them
game
when she gets up.
No one takes that.
I know, but my point is they were sitting together. So then she comes back, they're sitting together. She wasn't like splitting up the seat. She wasn't splitting up them talking
never,
to each other.
I just would never do that.
So what would you do? You're going back to your seat.
I would say
now a girl has sat there.
Well, there's still well,
you
what
can move over to the side or you sit
in
your seat.
I would let the two kids talk and I would sit next to them. I wouldn't sit in between them, just because it was my dumb seat before I went to go pee. No, that's stupid. It would never in a million years.
I just don't think it's a big deal.
I have that seat.
I don't think it's a big deal. Look, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt here.
She was putting on a show. She had to break them up.
She broke them up. There's no doubt about it.
That she's the queen and the boss or whatever.
I don't have any doubt in my mind that she's a wacko, but I don't care.
What's his living situation? Jason always knows where these guys live. Like, what house does he have? Does he live with his mom? He's got brothers and sisters. That's one thing that I find.
It's very private.
You think they care about those other brothers and sisters? The mom doesn't care about them. She only cares about him.
Pretty sure he lives with his mom.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go.
I mean, I think a certain amount of players do that when they're young.
Yeah, there's nothing. That's not unusual at all.
Yeah. I'm going to guess within 2 years, he's going to ditch mom. He's going to say, Mom,
I'm
a grown-ass man. I'm going to live my own.
Do I think the mom's a little overbearing? Of course. But who cares? That's my quarterback, Cakes.
Mm-hmm, that's right. You got to defend him at all costs.
Do you think in 2 years, mom's making suggestions for free agent signings?
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that's
not
the case.
Well, there's no way Adam Peters is going to listen.
Yeah, Adam Peters is going to say, look, we understand you're important, but you're not that important.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let's go to Rob in Potomac. Rob.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Rob. We're doing great.
First time caller, long time listener. Appreciate
Thanks, man.
You guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Rob.
Thank you. What's up?
I got a question for you.
Yep.
Can you tell me why, when the Terps are down points, and the Terps go to the free throw line, whether it's a one-on-one or two shots, why we don't have guys on the blocks when we have 2 7-footers and we missed free throws last night? Isn't that a chance for an offensive rebound? Am I just missing something analytically?
Are they on the block? Were they just not on the blocks for a few of those, or are they never on the blocks? I don't know that answer.
There was a variety of ones last night when they were down 5 points going in deep into the second half.
Right.
When all four guys were behind the half line.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't even notice that. I know that wasn't Temple famous for doing that? There were definitely programs that were famous for doing that just would keep their guys back to get them ready on defense.
They definitely do it. I think a lot of the times it's like when the bigs are shooting, they just don't put the guards down there because they don't feel like they can get an offensive rebound. Mm-hmm. And I think they don't want to put Reese or Queen on the block when Rice or Gillespie are shooting because, number one, they're good free throw shooters, but also I think it's a cheap way to pick up a foul.
Yeah, probably makes sense. Look, this is where you defer to the experts. Kevin Willard is the expert and his coaching staff. They know why those guys behind the half court line, like there's a method to it.
That could have just been for last night because, you know, maybe they just wanted to make sure those guys were back on defense because Colorado State could push it a little bit. But I can't imagine every single game he had those guys off the blocks.
And also,
guys are shooting free
also
throws.
You have to think about it could be fatigue factor. Do you really want them, you know, running back after a made free throw when they're playing so many minutes a game?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just already walking back there, being back there already, saving your energy for something more important. I think that could have something to do with it, too.
All right, let's go to Priscilla. This is what I'm looking for. We got an upset mom here. Priscilla, what's up? What's up? How are you?
I'm not good this morning because I don't like the way y'all bashing JD's mother.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Speak. For one thing, y'all don't say nothing when it's, oh, my dad. That's daddy's girl. Daddy's girl. Well, I'm going to tell y'all something. Sons and mothers are close. Mm-hmm. And God darn if I'm going to come to a game and me and him at a game, and I don't mind him having friends. But you know what? When I come down, we at a game together, what he supposed to do? Leave her on the side by herself? Just have her out there? No. She did the right thing.
He's and being a good son.
That's what happened. Let me finish. That's what happened with Griffith. His father stopped being on him. That girl, Harry, up and went out there and got pregnant on him. Y'all stop. And I got a thing about Merlin, too. Yeah. They don't want to see Merlin in it. They kept showing them on TNT. And that guy bowled him in the head, ain't he? They don't want to see Merle. They don't want to see us. But you know what, Nan, they are. And I bet you we be on Channel 9 now. Man, eat them. Eat them crows.
Right.
Man,
right.
I'm gone. Bye. Wow.
Priscilla had a...
Where, did she call, where was she calling from?
I do like no the way idea. She read us. Merlin.
I was desperate Merlin. For more information. Let's go to Isaac. Isaac, what's up, buddy? You're one of the junkies.
Ni hao, donks. I'm calling from China again. But if Patrick Mahomes can win Super Bowls with Brittany Mahomes and his donk brother, then Jane Daniels can have a girlfriend. His mommy needs to go step aside. You know, that's for, like, college days. He's a pro now. He's 24, 25. Like,
I know, but what do you care? What do you care? As far as I know, it's not causing a rift with the team. Like, I don't care. What, I mean,
it matters first of all, he's done great. It you can't attribute his success just because his mommy's like hanging in there, like, you know.
No, of course not. I give her very little credit for any of his success, really.
Just the genes.
But I don't care. I don't need to upset the apple cart just because you're offended or you think that he needs to be by himself. Like, who cares?
I'm not offended. I'm just saying it matters not at all. Like, this donk, Patrick Mahomes' brother is doing TikToks on the sidelines. And, yeah. You know, he can't
God, he's annoying.
Have his mom sit there.
We generally agree with you. It doesn't matter that much
Thank
at
you.
All.
Thank you for the call.
It's just curious. And it was newsworthy across the country.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I don't know if it was news.
Social media, media grabs everything.
Yeah, it was a viral.
And sorry,
social
people
media.
Noticed. Sorry, Priscilla. The Maryland Florida game is on TBS.
Oh, she's bitter.
She's bitter.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Evan Washburn, sideline reporter. He's been covering the NCAA tournament. He was at the St. John's game against Arkansas, featuring Coach Cal and Rick Pitino. We'll talk to Evan Washburn next here on the Junkies. Welcome back, Junkies Company Live on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up in an hour, we're going to talk to our pal Chris Nocke, the voice of the Terps, color analyst, as the Terps, of course, won at the buzzer yesterday. So we'll talk to C-Nock coming up in an hour. But join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Evan Washburn, CBS Sports reporter. What's up, Evan?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Hey, just quickly, how do you like covering the tournament versus covering football?
I love it for the period of time that it is. I couldn't do this at the length and intensity that we do football, but it's the most rewarding because I include conference tournaments. I did Missouri Valley and Mountain West, and then I'll do the first and second weekends of the tournaments or whatever that is, a month sprint It's awesome. It's so fun. It's stressful because you're crashing. The prep isn't what you would do for football. Mm-hmm. But to be a part of something where I feel like everybody's watching is always cool in our business. And it's cool to be around college kids. Even though they get paid now, they're still young. So I enjoy that.
Evan, I have to check in on the well-being of, I think it's your right knee. You did a stand-up, I guess, during the Omaha-St. John's game where I guess the Omaha coach has had a tradition of beating up a trash can. I don't know a lot about it. So you did like a knee drop onto a trash can on TV. Are you okay? Are things good there?
Yeah, it was a risky move. I initially was thinking about trying to do the people's elbow.
Okay.
I actually talked to the coach, and he was giving me pointers on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably going to be a bad idea. I've had two knee surgeries over the course of my life, so I was a little concerned there. But we came out okay. Bruised, but it was worth it for the bit.
All right, that's good.
The fourth game of the day. You're just looking for something to get you through the marathon.
You committed to the bit. That was impressive.
So, Evan, you were there in Providence. You had the McNeese-Purdue game, and you had the Arkansas-St. John's game. Let's start with the Arkansas-St. John's game because of the firepower on the court and also with the coaches. Just had a question about the interviews, the coaches' interviews during the timeouts. Do your producers tell you that you have to ask two questions, or is it just based on the answer, like how long the answer is to the first question? Because Patino tried to walk away from you after the first question, and then you asked him a second question. I'm thinking maybe he's required to ask two questions by his producers. How's that go?
No, it's more the latter. So it's a really great thing that's specific to the NCAA tournament, kind of resembling the NBA deal. The way it's been described and the structure of it is 90% of the time it's one question. You're permitted a follow-up if it's relevant to the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually don't use that opportunity for a follow-up, but I do specific to that exact thing where it's the two foul situation. And it's really because Steve Lapis and Andrew Catalan, the guys I'm working with, and the viewers and listeners, they're hearing them talk about Kadari Richmond being having two fouls and questioning how's Rick Pitino going to handle this. So it's my responsibility if I'm going to talk to Rick Pitino and, you know, a minute from them saying that or 30 seconds or whatever it ends up being is to get some context. But I don't view that as worthwhile as your main question. So it's usually a quick follow. And I've done that multiple times. And it's more probably just a situation where most coaches are used to it being one, so he thought it was done, and I just wanted to try and get that in.
Hey, you just did a little walk. I mean, maybe a two-stepper, and he answered the second question.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. He handled it awesome. And that's the thing. It's really challenging. I'm, as a former athlete and guy who lives and breathes sports and being at events, I know it's challenging for these players and coaches to be pulled from the most competitive, intense environment of their sometimes their lives to talk to me. So I really try and maximize the time by being super efficient with the question and get them in and out. So I appreciate the way these guys handle it.
So, I mean, obviously Steve and Andrew were talking about it as you were when he took RJ Lewis out. And he was 3 for 17 when he took him out. I can't remember exactly when he took him out, probably 10 minutes left in the game. So you could correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't put him back in, and it was a tight game. It was kind of shocking. I know Lapis kept saying, you know, he's got to put him back in. This is one of his best players. Kind of give me your thoughts on the back and forth you guys were having and what you noticed with RJ on the bench.
Yeah, it was even started early, and you could tell, and sometimes players, it's just not their night. And
right.
And I thought the image that set the whole scene and kind of really helps describe it was Zubi Ejiofor, and our cameras caught it, kind of in some ways shaking RJ to try and get him going. That becomes a philosophical or a strategic coaching decision. And I think while I love how Lap lays out his opinion, that's what he's paid to do. Rick Pitino's been doing this a while. He's been pretty successful. If he sees something or notices something, they live with these guys 24/7. So if he sees something in RJ's game or his demeanor that he doesn't like, to put him out there just because he's their best player statistically in that moment, that's an opinion that's going to go for the coach. It is unique to for the final 10 minutes of a game not have your best player out there for sure.
Right.
Hey, before we get back to basketball, and this is basketball related. Can you explain this Amir Khan phenomenon? Because you were there for part of this. I mean, I read something. It seemed outrageous that he has $100,000 in NIL.
That's accurate. It's more. I got the whole deal. I mean, if I'm to believe his now manager, who, to add to the greatness of the story, his name's Reed Feel, he's officially Will Wade's special assistant, former walk-on at LSU, played for Will Wade. But when the Amir Khan thing exploded, he took on Amir's management requirements or duties of dealing with all these brands. Mm. And he told me it's getting into mid to high six figures. We're talking 20K for a tweet. He's in full influencer mode. And that's what it is. And look, we try and stay relevant and knowing what's happening in the world, both socially and culturally. I can't understand it, but that's what it is. This is a great example of he connected with an audience and people can't get enough of it. I mean, the other aspect, we didn't get to show it, is in the hallway. I come out of our green room and the hallway's jammed with all the staff of the NCAA in the arena. Mm. And they've all got their phones out. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh, they're all waiting for Amir to come out. Like, so it's that level of influencer culture, I would say, invading March Madness.
Yeah. Has a coach ever refused to talk during the TV timeout?
No.
Are they required to?
They've forgotten that they are required to do it. And okay. I have connection with either an assistant on the bench or their SID that, hey, we're at the under 12. Just remind coach. And again, like it's there's been moments of challenge with it and moments. But I always say, like, I think, and maybe you guys, you're watching the game, so you have a different opinion, but if a coach is angry, happy, or sad, it's a win for me or right. for the viewer because you're getting a sense of the emotion and what's actually happening.
Yeah. Just kind of based on what you saw from Arkansas, they got some stud freshmen. Boogie Flan is finally back. He missed, I don't know, a month and a half because of that injury. Stud freshman. Obviously Carter Knox, stud freshman. Wagner, a really good player. They got athleticism. They got length. I mean, now that we're down to the Sweet 16, anything can happen. I could see Arkansas going on a run. I could see any of these teams going on a run. I could see Maryland going on a run. Just kind of your thoughts on Arkansas, the way they played to close out St. John's. Very impressive.
Yeah, it looks different on the floor with that size and that length and that more so the speed. I mean, I think Lapp said it perfectly. Maybe it wasn't even on the air. He's like, they float. it's almost like they're not hitting the hardwoods because they're just moving at that pace. And then to add to it, guys, I would expect Adu Thiro, their leading scorer, to come back
right.
in the second weekend. I mean, he was close. He practiced on Friday. He's been dealing with a knee injury, so you throw him back in the mix. I mean, it's wild. They started 0-5 in the SEC, and Cal, who's so good at spinning stuff, but he did have a line to us where he goes, well, maybe because we were so beat up and nobody played in most of January and half of February, we're fresh. And they did look. They looked fresh. They looked like the fresher team in both games, and especially in that St. John's game.
Now, who will you be covering in the Sweet 16 in the regional finals?
So I'm heading to Indianapolis. So we've got Kentucky, Tennessee, and then Purdue. So we'll get to follow Purdue and Houston.
Hmm. Your thoughts on those games?
I have no idea. I literally woke up to the email/text from everybody saying you're going to Indy because they don't assign that stuff until all the games are done. So I went to bed early. It's obviously been a long weekend.
Yeah.
So I'll dive in. I mean, all great games. I'm excited about that. I think the only thing on the surface, more so because I know Purdue, and then if you've watched any basketball the last however long Kelvin's been at Houston, you know what Houston is. That game's intriguing because just the contrast in styles.
Right.
Purdue's extremely efficient offensively, one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the nation in Braden Smith. But you play Houston, it's similar to St. John's, but I would say worse.
Yeah.
You're just you're in for an absolute beatdown.
And you know what? Props to Mark Pope for what he did in his first year at Kentucky, because he doesn't have the NBA talent that Arkansas has. I mean, I don't even think it's close. But the fact that he came in as a 3 seed, he kind of switched things up, more of a defensive style. I mean, props to Mark Pope coming in from BYU and getting Kentucky to the Sweet 16 to play Tennessee. I think this is the third time they're going to play this year.
Yeah, I think that aspect and layer to it is interesting for this this stage in the tournament to have so much familiarity and have it be an SEC game. And,
yep.
And then just from like a atmosphere standpoint to have whenever Big Blue Nation shows up, it feels different. So I think we're lucky in that regard as well.
Evan, we were talking about it earlier. Is this kind of the signaling the end of the mid-major, you know, with the way the NIL is working and these superstar teams? And, you know, are the mid-majors not going to be able to keep up? I thought they would because they'd just be more senior-laden on the whole, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, on the surface or initially. And that's where, we're in, like, the beta stage of all of this. So, like, don't be too hard on either your own opinion that now seems wrong or others, because I think every year, every season, probably for the next few, and as the rules continue to change and sharpen, we're going to get a better understanding of things. I would say yes. The challenge from it, you have to capture the moment in the moment, if that makes sense. There's no like, oh, we've got this team's got a bunch of sophomores and juniors, and you know they're going to be something to deal with, whether it's a Drake or somebody like that. Like, if it's going to happen, it's got to happen now, because everybody that plays well. I mean, it's amazing, having done the Missouri Valley and Mountain West, knowing just every kid that plays well in a game that's on national TV, and then if you go to the tournament, just how that completely changes their economics and the attention that they're getting. So even, like, I'm doing a Valparaiso game. Nobody's thinking about Valpo. They got two really good freshmen that if they could hold on to, they would be atop the Missouri Valley, maybe be one of those mid-majors that makes a run. Both are probably in the portal already, or starting today, and who knows? I mean, that's just the – so the mid-majors have no longer become the Cinderellas. They are the minor league for the Power Fives to then go to and pluck and pay to bring in their best players.
Joined by Evan Washburn, CBS Sports reporter. He's on the Rude guest hotline. So how ironic is it, Evan, that the first buzzer beater in this tournament came from Maryland, who's been murdered by buzzer beaters in their last four losses, the most recent one against Michigan. So really nice that Maryland was able to be on the right side of a buzzer beater this time instead of the wrong side.
I know, but it's funny. I mean, you say that, which is accurate, but then I immediately think of Drew Nicholas, right? Wasn't that the where he's is it Coastal Carolina, whatever?
There, UNC, you know, Wilmington, I think.
Wilmington, yeah,
he's got that runner. No, it was awesome. It's funny. I was able to get home Saturday night, so I was home all day Sunday, and we were watching that game with my 9-year-old son, and that was the first time I could see him like invested, and he went crazy when they hit the buzzer beater. So that was awesome. And then my favorite part, I didn't catch it in the moment, but as a guy who lives in Baltimore now for the last 10 years, when I think Andy Katz asked him, you know, where the confidence comes to take that shot, and his line was, well, I'm from Baltimore. Like that just hit me right in the feels. That was great. So I'm pumped, obviously, for that program and for all the Terps fans out there.
Especially after Kevin Willard was just grilling his AD last week. I mean, publicly saying, yeah,
full mafia mode.
He needs to go. I can't work with this guy anymore. And people question whether or not the timing of that whether that should have been out in public. And we thought,
well, I think that's interesting. Like the whole timing of all this stuff.
Yes.
We were living the Will Wade experience with the news coming out. And look, everything can be anecdotal and it's case by case, but I do think the more time I spend around these players, like, transparency is going to win out. I think we get so precious about things because we're still living in an old model in our minds and all this. And it is. It's all new and wacky and different. But I think the more that there's honesty from the players to the coaches about what they're hearing and getting and offers, and then the players, that I don't know. I found something powerful in the way the McNeese thing all played out over the course of the 3 days there in Providence.
All right, bro. Well, thanks for joining us on short notice, man. It was great. That was a great game to watch. And enjoy your trip to Indy.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you, buddy.
So it wasn't as bad, the Rick Pitino thing that you made it seem like it was.
You mean for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It just looked very awkward on TV.
I rewatched it. It didn't look
that. He handled it very well. Both
of them. I think Pitino didn't know there was a second question coming, and he was trying to get back to his timeout. And Evan just kind of stood two steps to the side and just kept him in there and asked another question.
It's ballsy on Evan's part, you know.
It wasn't like Pitino was like Popovich.
Right.
Yeah. No. He answered the question.
He answered the second question. You know, like,
with a smile.
He didn't just give a one or two word
answer. It was just
answer.
Funny that he was walking away and yeah. Evan had to come back and say, hey, follow up. And then he answered both questions. It was fine.
Right. We'll talk some Terps.
Patino was not happy during the interview.
We'll talk some Terps, college hoops, and their chances in the Sweet 16 with Chris Nockey coming up at 9:25 here on the Junkies. So the Major League Baseball season's underway, but it's really still spring training. Now, Cakes went out to Nats Park because the Nationals open on Thursday.
They do, yep. Opening day, Thursday.
Did you see what happened in the Blue Jays spring training game?
I did not.
You didn't see it, Baseball Cakes?
Baseball Cakes missed that somehow.
Did you see it, Jason?
I did not.
So, there's a guy who's on his phone right behind home plate, and he's talking on his phone.
Okay.
I almost just need, I'll show it to Jason. I don't feel like turning the camera. So, look at this guy. He's talking on his phone.
Yeah.
There's a pitch about to happen. All right. So, the pitch happens.
And he moons?
He moons the camera. Oh,
I mean, that's just disrespectful.
I mean, was he kicked out? I mean, I assume he was kicked out.
I don't know.
That's hilarious.
I mean, right? I mean, it's a show.
So, he's talking to his boy.
That's
obviously what he's doing. Yeah,
his boy's like, I see you on TV.
His boy probably said, I'll give you $100 if you moon me.
Right. How hammered you have to be.
I mean, you got
to
be intoxicated, right?
Yeah. Like, it looks like you're sitting there with his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to do that sober in front of all those people.
Why didn't his wife push him down? Why did she allow that? What an idiot.
It looks like she's leaning over. She's probably pulling his pants. Who knows?
How much would it take for you to do that?
Oh.
A lot.
It says the woman with him is clearly laughing, trying to stop him.
I would never be allowed. I'd never be allowed to.
It's a partial moon
in Nats Park ever again.
It's not a full moon. Yeah. It's a partial moon, but you definitely see crack.
Yeah,
I mean, mooning somebody—that's middle school, maybe high school level, like prankery. I mean,
but let's say you're in a game. A spring training game is not as big as a regular season game.
No, really.
So, no, I'm just saying the viewership.
Mm-hmm.
Cakes, if Jason sent you a text and said $10,000.
$10,000.
Well, of course he would do it for $10,000.
$10,000.
But he wouldn't do it for whatever this guy did it for.
But if I were to do it, then I have to realize I'm never going to be allowed to set foot in this stadium ever again. Now, whether that's the ballpark of the beaches in West Palm or Nats Park, like, you're going to be banned for life. Like, they're not going to let you back in.
Trying to think when the last time I've mooned somebody, if I've even moved, it'd have to be high school.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you would do when you're 15 or 17 years
old. I'm sure I've mooned someone post-high school.
I mean, that's just such an old school move.
I mean, I can't remember when, but I'm sure. Certainly in college. 100% I moon people in college.
Hmm.
It's such a loser.
I mean, 100%. There's just no way I didn't.
I'm just showing them your cheeks.
When's the last time you mooned somebody, Cakes?
I mean, I can't even recall. Like, if I've
Did you ever, like, when you were a kid, would you moon your brothers?
I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of a weird move.
I think the move that's embarrassing for adults now, like, because, look, if you're 50-year-old or whatever, you're not going to moon anybody. In all likelihood. But I think it's just equally as embarrassing when you give people the finger. Like, when you're driving, and if you're a finger blaster.
That's Jason Bishop.
Yeah, like, if somebody pisses you off, and you just, somebody gave me the finger the other day. I can't remember why. He thought I was driving too slow, I think.
Yeah.
And he went around and gave me the finger, and I just shook my head. I just almost kind of laughed.
I don't even like honking my horn.
Yeah, I don't want to just upset anyone. I don't really care. I'm just minding my own business. But people do occasionally, because I will drive slow, like, especially driving to work.
Yeah.
I just drive slow.
And they'll
slow.
Get right on your
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, and they want to get around me.
Yeah.
And then they give me the finger.
But didn't you, DeMatha boys, used to do the game where you tried to make people look at your junk?
Yes.
Chalk them up. You guys never did that?
That was not a public school thing.
You guys went to an all-boys school. Yeah. It's a different.
It was not a thing.
That was an 87, 88
PG
thing.
PG County public schools.
I mean, it was a very, it was like a homoerotic thing that you did, but I don't know what to tell you.
Bickle's got to be in the left lane just staring at his phone on the highway, just out in la-la land.
Yeah, you're not in the fast lane, are you, when they're...
I know sometimes it happens. It's when all this congestion. It's happened to me before when you leave here at 10 a.m. and I'm getting on to whatever that is,
395,
whatever that is. Yeah. I mean, I don't have.
Are you on Twitter while you're driving?
No, my phone is up on my thing. It's up on my thing. It's never in my hand.
Hmm.
But I think people don't like it when they see my phone up there. If I'm listening to something, then I think people get irritated by it.
What I don't understand is in the, you know, at 4:45 or 5 in the morning, if I'm on the toll road and there's literally nobody on the toll road. I mean, on a busy day, you might see 25 to 30 cars total from when I get on it to when I hit 66.
Uh-huh.
And then for some reason, sometimes guys will come right up on your ass. Mm-hmm. All the other three lanes are wide open. They'll come right up on your ass and they'll just want you to move. They'll ride you for, you know, a mile or
two.
There's
so much room to go around.
And then they'll finally go around you. What are they doing?
I don't understand.
99% of this world can't drive.
It happens on 66 all the time.
Yeah, they're just stupid people.
And I'm not in the left lane.
No.
I'm going like 65.
Right. And they'll come right up on your ass and stay there for a couple miles. Or a mile.
It's like they try to bully you out of your lane. Mm-hmm. Get out of their way.
Yep.
Definitely happens.
66 is a debacle with that. People are flying on 66.
Well, thankfully,
nowadays.
I don't have a lot of exposure to 66 these days.
My dream job is to be an undercover cop.
Why?
Be an unmarked car on 66.
And you want to bust
just,
people?
Oh, just have some a-hole like riding your tail.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get to flip the lights on him and ruin his day.
Power play.
It's just the ultimate comeback F you.
Right.
It's a dream job.
Does that ever happen, you think? Guys like flip off undercover cop guys?
Oh, for sure. Oh, sure. Yeah. You see videos of it.
I've never seen it. There's viral videos of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to know it also happens. Everybody gets tailgated at some point, even if you're an unmarked car and they have no idea who you are.
Did you see the videos of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins with their new Lamborghinis?
No.
They were driving like 200 miles an hour on the highway.
Crazy.
Bro, I mean, please pull them over.
Look it up.
Who?
Just Google.
Who saw
Ja'Marr
that?
Chase. It almost looked like they had somebody videoing them.
The thing is, I somewhat sympathize with it. If you've ever had a car that goes fast, it feels dumb driving it 55.
To go slow?
It feels dumb. You feel like, well, I paid all this money. I got to use the speed a little bit. It is crazy, though.
Were they racing?
They're probably just testing them out. They wanted to feel that speed.
I mean, they're way too young to know. Wasn't it Bobby Phils that got killed like drag racing through the streets of Charlotte with a teammate?
Yes.
Like, come on, let's learn some lessons from history here.
No, you're right, Cakes, but I could just tell you from experience, if you get behind a car that can go super fast, you feel like you need to test it a little bit.
I understand. You feel like you want to open it up.
Because it's got all, especially one of those Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That thing isn't built to go 55. It's ridiculous.
These guys are so rich, they should just like literally rent out like a speedway and just take their cars out there.
Right.
So they're not endangering the rest of the public that are driving around at 60 miles an hour. These guys are zooming by 180.
Did you see the video, Jason?
No, I'm put it on YouTube. I can't find it.
What do you think of it?
That's definitely an exaggeration by JP. I mean, they may hit the gas a little bit, but they're going like 70 miles an hour, maybe. They're coming up on a red light. They race a little bit on the race, essentially.
What I would like to do, when I had my vet, what I'd like to do is I always like to look at people and then just hit the gas when the light would turn, you know, just like my own little thing. But then
60,
not go to 100, you know what I mean? But that almost felt dicey, too, because people were always blowing through lights.
You wanted to feel the giddy up. You
just wanted to feel the zero to, that acceleration.
I don't know, man. They're blowing by traffic.
They're
passing traffic, but... And they could probably definitely be pulled over.
Are they Lamborghinis for sure?
They're definitely Lambos.
Yeah.
They're definitely not doing 200. I mean, they're on a busy highway.
I didn't say they were doing 200.
You said 180.
You said close to 200. Didn't you say that?
I don't think so.
All right, run it back.
You did say something.
I mean, they're going. They're going fast, but they're not going that fast.
I got to see the video. I only see a still.
There's actually three Lambos. There must be another player in there.
Yeah, I mean, they get caught in traffic at one point.
Are they like matching Lambos? Or are they different?
Different colors,
but they look like they're the same style or year.
Right, I'm going to some terrible websites that have this. What is on3.com?
Have Don't you ever know seen what that, that is.
No.
The major recruiting site.
Is it?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, hold on. Okay, that's hold on. Here, I see it. I'm going to see what JP's talking about. All right, so he's pulling out. This is whoever's in the blue Lambo.
I think the they're blue on a was, ramp. I think blue was
And then Higgins. They're obviously just testing the acceleration a little bit. Yeah, they just went like 100 yards. They went 100 yards. They didn't really go anywhere.
It wasn't like...
yeah, that wasn't
bad. Like Jason Wirtz and Wirtz going 200 on the Beltway.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.